Welcome back, Get a Grip on Lighting listeners. This is episode 42, that's right, 42, of the Get a Grip on Lighting podcast. On today's show, we have Joe Pater from the Rebate Bus. Get on the bus. We talked a lot about rebates and even whether or not they should exist. Ooh, how crazy is that, Greg? No more rebates? Could you imagine?
We can't talk about that, can we? We need those rebates.
Come on, keep those rebates flowing. This episode of the podcast is brought to you by Kurtzon Lighting. Go to KURTZON.com, specification grade. These guys are the bomb, and they're out of Minnesota, aren't they? Right up in your herd, aren't they, Greg?
Illinois, close enough.
Illinois, okay.
It's one state over. But yeah, one thing we want to talk about, maybe even before we get into the product, is just the fact of the rebates and the fact that there's companies out there that are just making product for rebate purposes only. And then there are companies out there that are making it for application-specific projects, which is what it should be, what all lighting should be. And that's what Kurtzon does better than anybody. Mm. There's specification-grade lighting made specifically for the application you need it for. It's not a cookie-cutter company, one fixture fits all. It's unique. They have over 900-plus DLC products, and they also have an excellent product line that we're going to show here on the YouTube video of linear wraps. And they have four different sizes, and they call them A profile, B profile, C profile, and D profile, which is news to me, but maybe that's something that I should have known is how they're rated. And they also,
so Greg, hang on. That's the lens width. Those profiles.
A being the skinniest and then D getting wider. So maybe that's something we just learned ourselves.
Yeah, for sure.
Or maybe it's something unique to Kurtzon, but either way, it's a nice looking fixture. And in addition to that, they have all sorts of ways you can mount it. In terms of mounting it on an adjustable mount on the wall, you can angle mount it on the wall or a pendant mount, all sorts of things you can do with this fixture.
You know, it's when you get a fixture company that makes a really solid mounting system to go with the fixture, the installers really notice it actually. And I've had, you know, when we've had certain kits that go with a fixture and they're like, wow, you told me to put it in the corner and it had this beautiful bracket that went with it. It was so easy. So you got to go to Kurtzon.com. That's if you want to get specification grade, if you want to do things right, you got to go to Kurtzon Lighting out of Illinois, not Minnesota. I should know that. KURTZON.com. That's Kurtzon.com, specification grade. And this episode of the show and every episode that's on the GetAGripOnLighting.com website is brought to you by the National Association of Innovative Lighting Distributors. Go to NAILD.org. That's NAILD.org for information on this association and for taking educational courses. But for now, we got Joe Pater on one of the best podcasts I think we've ever done on episode 42 of the Get a Grip on Lighting podcast. Welcome to the Get a Grip on Lighting podcast, Joe.
Good morning. Yeah, thank you for having me. I appreciate it. This is kind of a big moment.
Yeah, big moment. Yeah, it's your special day. Say hi to Greg Garrick.
Hi, Greg.
Hi, Joe.
Nice to meet you. Thank you.
You too.
So what's tell us a little bit about Rebate Bus.
Sure, absolutely. Rebate Bus is a technology startup working in the space for utility rebates and incentive programs. And we are building a capability for both industry and the utility segment to more effectively speak with one another. Probably the best way I can explain it is, you know, the utilities are all siloed off. They're segmented with their own process. They're kind of like living in their own world in terms of how they do things. And anybody who's in the lighting business knows this. I mean, if you do work in the Northeast and then all of a sudden you move down to Texas and you want to do work in Texas, you got to relearn everything. You got to learn the process. You got to get registered. You got to get to know the people, because every program has its own team. Every utility has its own process. So that's kind of the problem that we set out to solve when we first started this company is, you know, could we try to normalize everything across the industry, and could we, you know, influence the industry or the utility side to realize that the market, the actual economy doesn't work like that. Like we don't stop transacting when we change our utility service territory. You know, people work fluidly across these service territories, but yet when it comes to our energy consuming systems, specifically lighting, HVAC, et cetera, dealing with the programs is it's not fluid. And, you know, there are people who have made businesses out of figuring out how to deal with those programs. And those are very smart folks who are forward leaning and really excited about energy efficiency and the story of LED. What we're trying to do at Rebate Bus is open up the entire market to that kind of capability by using a system that can allow industry to talk to the utilities very fluidly. So that's kind of what Rebate Bus is. I mean, we're still in a very early stage. We're a young startup, and we're excited about what the future looks like for sure. But we're still learning. You know, we're still very much learning.
Your goal sounds a little naive to me, buddy. You know how complicated it is out there?
I like that you say it's naive. People call me naive all the time, which is great. Like, that's not possible. You can't do that.
Well, not only is it not You're possible, crazy. I'm not even sure I want you to do it. If you simplify everything, I lose my competitive advantage, son.
That is a sales objection that I come across all the time. And I honestly don't intend to at all disrupt a player who is in the business of really knowing how this thing works. In fact, I love that kind of player in the market. Like, I want to support that kind of player to take it to the next level.
You got two of them on the phone right now. You got two of them on the phone right now. Greg's dying to ask you some questions. Stop hitting your desk, though. Your camera's flying all over the place, brother. You're excited. Man. You're excited. I know. Your camera's flying all over the place. All right, Greg, hit him.
I don't sit still. Gotcha. I'm sorry.
No problem. Does your service only cover the U.S., or do you get into Canada as well?
We're in Canada, too. Yep. We can cover Canada. We have full capability up there.
I didn't invite you. Gotcha.
So do you have any indication or any real numbers on how many utility companies there are? Let's start in the United States and how many there are in Canada.
Oh yeah. Well, there's 2,500 plus in terms of actual utilities. But in terms of like what we call the thing that's most interest or most important to industry is the program. So, you know, here in Wisconsin, we're actually headquartered in Wisconsin. We have a really great statewide program called Focus on Energy. And Focus on Energy covers practically the entire state. It's like 90 utilities altogether. So that's just kind of an example of there's one program. Everything kind of flows through the same, maybe not the same experience, but at least the same program for anybody in the state. You know, no matter what the utility is. So, you know, we have approximately 600 programs fully documented in our system. And the way that we do it is we take it down to the measure line level, and we look at everything that is required of a utility in the precondition environment, you know, before anything happens, to all the way to the post. You know, what has happened. And as you guys know, some utilities care more about the precondition, some care more about what it's going to look like afterward, and things like wattage reduction as a percentage can be a factor, things like baselines can be a factor. And we have all of that built into our model. We have a really capable, intelligent model that we've built from the ground up that can handle all that.
Now, being about 20 miles from the Wisconsin border, I'm familiar with the Focus on Energy program. And the odd part, and Mike, you might not know much about this, but Xcel Energy is our big utility provider here. And they spill over into Wisconsin. But the Xcel Energy customers in Wisconsin are on a whole different rebate program than Minnesota is. And are there any other states that do it the way Wisconsin does, or provinces in Canada or anywhere where they take over the whole section?
Yeah, there's a number of states that are like that. Oregon has something like that. Massachusetts, Vermont, Alberta up in Canada has something like that. There's quite a few instances where that is the case, but the example you gave where Excel is in the Twin Cities, but you know, when you cross the border into Wisconsin, it's a whole different way of doing business. That is very common. Like Ameren, Missouri and Ameren, Illinois, right there, smack dab next to each other. But you cross that river and you're talking to a whole different set of people, and you're talking about a whole different program, kind of like a different program design almost. So it makes it hard for somebody who's like, hey, you know, I got five locations in St. Louis. I got five locations over in Illinois. I want to do a lighting upgrade. I want everything to feel and look similar across all 10 locations. And, you know, I think what it happens.
Too bad for you, son. Too bad for you, buddy. Get a grip. You're going to have to hire, you're going to have to hire Greg Eric, and he's going to take care of all that for you, son. You don't worry about a thing. Anyway,
it's good. But don't worry. It is an odd setup. So it does happen elsewhere. That's good to know. Of the 2,500 or so utilities, do you have any indication of how many of them offer lighting rebates?
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's approximately 70%, I'd say, of the marketplace has actual dollars set aside for commercial lighting upgrades. So it's a pretty big chunk of the market. And I will say, too, it's growing quite considerably toward commercial. Let me ask you this. Do you guys know much about the residential version of these programs?
I know a little bit, but we don't really get into that much in our business.
But. Cool. I mean, it's like, have you ever gone into Home Depot and seen Xcel Energy, you know, there's $2 off this lamp kind of thing?
Sure. We participated in a coupon program like that. And, we sold so many lights through that coupon program that they put us on the watch list and audited us at the end. Like I had to send them. Listen to me. I had to say, Craig, you're going to laugh about this. I had to ship them a skid of banker's boxes because the program was paper-based. I had so many coupons, dude. I had to send them like I think it was 15 banker's boxes. I had to ship it on a skid.
Wait, what?
The day I shipped it, I sent them a big tray of cupcakes too. They're like, "What the hell is this?" I'm like, "That's the program."
What did they do with them?
How did you sell this many? How many light bulbs did you sell?
Did they actually audit? Did they look at
each one? Yes, they audit. They did a full-blown audit. They did a full – no, they did – I guess like audit would be like looking at 10% of the transactions, right?
Oh, okay. All right. Yeah.
Right? So they audited it. They went through it. Dude, I had that – I had that paper, buddy, was in apple pie order. Everything was perfect for them. They couldn't dispute anything. But it was like they had to cut me a huge check, and they didn't like it. They're like, "Holy crap, how did you sell this many lights?" I'm like, "Listen, son, what? You priced it wrong. Not my problem. I sold everything for $1. I had a big street sign. I had a big street sign out front saying LED light, LED pot lights, recessed lights, and can lights for you U.S. listeners. I had a big sign on the street saying all LED products, $1. And people would come in and be like, "Holy shit. Yeah, bring in your coupons, son." People were bringing in stacks of coupons like this.
What year was this?
This is last year, 2017.
Wow. In which market?
This is Toronto, buddy. This is the Save on Energy program. Yeah.
Right on.
So they changed the whole program to kind of get me out of it. Now, they only wanted the big box stores, those guys. And then they lowered all the prices. They were giving $9 for an LED can light, right? And I was buying them for $6 or so $5 and selling them for $10 in the program. People will come in and buy like crazy. Anyway, yeah. So you know what? I think the utilities should be hiring Michael and Colligan and Greg Eric from the Get a Grip on Lighting podcast to really make their programs for them. Because as soon as a new program comes out, we read the thing and look for all the different seams in it and like – These guys don't know anything about selling light bulbs, son. Nothing.
Well, and you're an example. I think you're like a really a great example of like a player in this space, because you're right. Like you can
don't hate the player, hate the game, son. Don't hate the player, hate the game.
Dude, I love the players and I love the game.
There you go.
Okay, I like both. But my thought is like, you know, I do think that there is a lack of insight on the utility side. And while that may, you know, that certainly benefited you, like, hey, for all means, like you deserve figuring that. You figured that out. You built those 15 bankers boxes where the customers, and you deserve every penny that thing delivered for you. And my thought is the utility needs to get smarter about like how, not only how much they're giving, but how they're delivering the incentive. And you know, with the technology that we all now have in our pocket, you know, the smartphone, we have the ability to do what that coupon was supposed to do. You know, like that coupon was their way of knowing, like, you know what, this was sold to an eligible person and I, you know, this is okay. Well, why did we have to write it on a piece of paper? You know, like that data is out there. The utility knows who their clients are, and the clients know if they are actually a client of that utility, you know, with the service. So connecting those dots, that's what we're all about. I mean, we're really super focused on creating experiences that are streamlined, simple, frictionless, very easy, because in our opinion, you know, your example, I'm glad that thing was last year, that your example is very recent, because it's an indication that the market is ready. Like the market is ready to really, truly move forward and adopt LED lighting technologies, especially in commercial. I was talking to a guy yesterday. He was telling me, he's like, I'm working with an enterprise client and at like three sites, they have a cost. Cost of waiting. Yeah. Monthly cost of waiting. Sure. Cost of waiting of $132,000 a month.
Yeah, but those could be, you got to be careful with that, man. You got to be careful with those kind of things. I mean, you know, I've been in this game for, in the energy savings game for 16 years. You're talking, I don't know about that long, maybe at least 14 years. I filled out the first rebate application ever in the city of Toronto, first one. And cool. it was 10% of the cost of the project.
Okay. Yep.
And I was like, "Wow, this is awesome!" And now sometimes, like, we got into rebates where it was 100% of the material cost, and just crazy stuff.
Yeah.
But Greggy's got some questions. Keep going, Greggy. He actually plans. I don't plan. So go for it, Gregor.
No, that's good. We can keep flying. Going back to kind of the stats, are there any states that still do not offer any rebates at all whatsoever? For lighting.
There's a few. There's also a couple that are like moving away from it, which is a little bit stressful to the market. You know, the dead zones right now are still like Alabama to a certain extent. A large portion of Louisiana is kind of not really all that exciting. But I will say I'm hearing chatter about Louisiana coming on in a big way pretty soon here. You know, Florida is still kind of a dead zone in certain parts. Like, you know, if you look at what some of the utilities were offering in Florida, it's kind of like they were still working on stuff that was 5, 6, 7 years old. So there's still a few places in the country where it's the incentive budgets, the dollars that are set to kind of move the efficiency needle forward are insignificant. And they're not moving the needle forward, and therefore the market is like not attracted to those areas, and you just simply got to do it on ROI. And you know, those sales are still happening. Like, people are still converting to LED in Florida regardless of rebate, because the technology is just so darn advanced now.
Sure.
And the pricing has come down. So
sure.
But
so Joe, let me throw you. You're on the Get a Grip on Lighting podcast right now. So we don't, you know, we would say there's a movement in Ontario right now where lighting people, I had a guy, sort of a second tier manufacturer in my showroom the other day, talking about stuff and looking at the prices of the stuff.
on my showroom floor. And he's saying, you know what? I can't wait till they cancel the rebate program. I'm like, what? What did you say there, son? He's like, you know, I'm sick of the rebate program. I'm sick of there's so many players in the year now, and it's too crowded. There's too many people entering this business that, you know, that don't know what they're doing. And I'm looking at this guy, and I'm like, you're an upstart, son. You're one of the players that entered the game 5 years ago, and now you're upset about new people entering the game. I've been in this game for 40 years, my business. So, but, you know, I'm not sure that Greg, are you 100% in favor of rebates, Greg?
I wouldn't say 100%. I'd say they're nice to have as long as they're done right. And I think so many of them are done wrong that, you know, that should be eliminated. I think it should be more of a set program.
Do you know how they're paid for? I know how they're paid for in Ontario. Joe, I don't know if they're all paid for this way. So I think if the people of Ontario knew how rebates were paid for, they'd be very upset about it. So
lay it down.
So it's a Bob and Rude program. Do you know what that term means, Joe? Bob and Rude?
It's
reverse Robin Hood. So it's a Bob and Rude.
What the
fuck? Canadian reverse, for Robin Hood.
Does that mean that, like,
you rob from the poor? Yeah, you rob from the poor and you give to the rich. So the way the program works is that I'm not sure exactly on all the financial details. I'm going to lay it out here. I could be wrong on a specific, but conceptually I'm right. What they do is they take the cost of the rebate and the administration, the payout, and everything associated with the rebate for the utility, and they call it an input cost of energy. And then they mix it into the energy cost, and they charge it to everybody in that utility in an amortized form over 5 years. So what happens is the individual ratepayer within the city of Toronto or within any utility in Ontario is in fact subsidizing the upgrade of lighting for factories and condominiums and commercial buildings and all these sorts of things. And this is ethically questionable. Because basically you're jacking, like, electricity costs in Ontario have gone, like, I would say Ontario is probably the most progressive province when jurisdiction in North America when it comes to the adoption of LED. Maybe California is bigger, I don't know, but Ontario is one of the top adopters, especially in the Toronto area and in southern Ontario. And the people of Ontario are paying out of the nose for this stuff, man. You're talking wind farms, solar energy, LED upgrades. All this stuff is being smashed into the cost of energy. And our energy costs are three or four times higher than they are in Michigan because of it. And this is a serious, you know, not only is it an ethical dilemma, but it's also, I think it's not necessarily a good thing. And I mean, I think that needs to be discussed a little bit. Now, rebate bus, as a lighting seller and as a person that does rebates, and Greg's a person who sells lighting, I mean, I'm out there when I'm working in the field to help my customer maximize their return on investment, maximize their payback, and do this sort of thing for them. But there's a question about whether this is ethically right for, you know, an individual person living in a, you know, apartment building. Their energy bill over the last 5 to 10 years has gone from $40 a month to $130 a month. That's the kind of numbers.
Wow, that's intense. I mean, I guess that's serious. I mean, it probably, I would assume, it has to do
I'm being rough with my numbers, but we're talking massive increases. And now Ontario is also a very low carbon environment for electricity as well, which contributes to that. So we don't have, for example, you guys are still burning gas and coal, and Ontario is largely nuclear and hydro. So we don't have a lot of greenhouse gas emissions from our energy and all that. But son, if you have a factory in Ontario and your hydro bill is $1 million a month, and I know a customer whose hydro bill is $1 million a month, that same electricity bill in Indiana is $200,000, bro. How much does it cost you to move your facility to Indiana? You're talking $800,000 a month savings. So this is what rebates, like, this is what sometimes these programs that you think are wonderful for, you know, the person that got the LEDs, but then for the entire rate base, I'm not sure if it's necessarily positive and whether it's even ethical. So it's definitely a Bob and Rude program where mm-hmm. you know you're spreading the cost out on the rate base, and you make it, you know, sort of in a, you do it in a muddied, watered fashion, so that nobody really knows what's going on. It's like energy costs are increasing. Yeah. Well, no, energy costs aren't increasing. What's increasing is the cost to administer and pay out all these rebates and for solar energy and wind farms and LED lighting upgrades and, you know, all this other stuff. That's what's going up in the price. So Ontario may be like a canary in the coal mine for, you know, other jurisdictions to look at. But so I mean, I'm not here to smash rebate bus. I'm sure you guys are doing a good job, but I think there's some ethical dilemmas. Have you guys discussed that at all in your business meetings?
Yes. So, yeah, I think that, you know, to answer the first question, that generally is how it's done everywhere.
So it's rate base paid.
Yeah. Like there's a little rider, and it depends on where you are. You know, every state has it defined differently. And that's what makes this business so complex, is that it is at the state regulator level where they define what's going to happen for the utility, how much of their revenues they're going to invest in efficiency. And the state legislature effectively is the ones who kind of dictate that in most places. In other cases, it's like the Public Utility Commission who makes that kind of decision. Mm-hmm. Now, Ontario might be an extreme case, and I can't say that I understand any of the real dynamics behind it, but I'll just say, my opinion generally, I guess, that when we make an investment in efficiency, and also when we make an investment in renewables, and potentially when we start making bigger investments in storage, the benefits of those investments pay off over a long period of time. And I'm not trying to justify at all what Ontario has done to, you know, what you just said, I've just corroborated here on the internet. It's correct. Ontario, here's the title of something from just last fall: Ontario Hydro bills to rise over next 10 years. So serious rise in bill, rise to an average of $181 a month. Sure. I think they're talking about residential. That's actually pretty darn high.
That's steep, dude. That's a lot of money. And if somebody's, you know, tight, they're going to have a hard time paying that bill, dude. That's a big bill.
Totally.
And in 2003, that would have been like $30 or $40.
So that's a heavy increase. Yes. And you're right. It's probably causing people to think, oh, I got to get out of here. You know, I got to move my business, or this is not the place for me, which I don't know if that's happening, but that's at least what my mind would do. If I'm running one of those businesses that's got that $1 million bill, I move down to Indiana, it's only $200,000. But I guess what I wanted to say is that I really firmly believe that the investments we're making in efficiency and renewables are really important for the future. And I see a time in the future where those investments start to pay off in a way where costs come down. Because as we transition to more energy technologies that don't have a raw input cost, a financial cost, of course, number one, you know, with gas, coal, oil, there's a cost to bringing all those energy sources to the generation facility. And then also environmental cost when they are combusted, it's in the environment. Now, you know, we got to deal with the environmental costs afterward.
Right. So if you guys paid for your pollution, Ontario's energy would be cheaper. Like if the U.S.
was paid.
Yes. So we're going to do a carbon tax, Trump. We're coming for you. No. But I mean, so Ontario has met.
Let's get him. Let's get him.
No, but I mean, not to get political, but I mean, Ontario has met its Kyoto Protocol targets for clean
and
energy.
Our president is just like,
I don't.
Kyoto
this is not a political show. Joe, this is not a political show. This is not a political show. I have things, you know, so we're not going to get into that. But what I'm saying is that all this stuff about – there's like a political debate going on in the world right now that a battle about this. And, you know, Ontario has led the way and is suffering for it now. Is suffering terribly for it now. And, you know, so
– Sounds like it.
So,
but here's what I'll say. Fast forward 20 years into the future. Is Ontario the renewable energy place to live?
Depends if you like nuclear. Depends if you like nuclear.
Well, fine. Okay, yeah. You like nuclear, but of course you also like wind. You like solar.
Hydro.
And you live in Ontario. You got hydro, and you got no energy bill 20 years from now.
No, so come on, man. Come on, son. Get it. Do you know how expensive nuclear is? That never. That will never happen. That will never happen.
All right. Well, maybe we could get it back down to 30.
So let me tell you one more point to bring it back to lighting. To bring it back to lighting, because this is an important debate I think our industry needs to have. One more point. Efficiency is not always good. Okay.
I would like to hear the argument why efficiency is not always good.
Okay.
Let's hear
this. I went to a conference, an electric vehicle charging station, an electric vehicle conference, right? And the president of Ontario Power Generation. So Ontario Power Generation is the corporation that manages all the nuclear plants, any gas plants, the hydro and everything. The infrastructure and the delivery of electricity for Ontario. And Ontario is a monster jurisdiction. It's huge in North American terms. Okay. So he got up and he said, we have too much energy. We have to give it away. We have to pay to get rid of it, or we have to give it away to Michigan for free, or we have to pay them to take it. And we need the adoption of electric vehicles in right now in Ontario. And if we go up for a mass adoption of electric vehicles, the cost of energy will decline in Ontario. Think about that for a second. If we use more energy, our energy costs will go down.
Well, he's saying if you adopt electric cars,
which will use the energy, which will use the energy that we have.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Right. Our energy costs will actually go down. But that now we're still bawling straight forward into getting everybody to reduce their lighting bills. Till we're constantly creating more and more energy we don't need.
Well, I think that makes sense. I mean,
okay.
I mean, I think that kind of makes sense. It's kind of maybe hard to see in the moment, but I will say, actually, that dynamic that you explained there, where electric cars are going to play a role in the utility future, that is in play everywhere. Every market's got that. California's got something very similar where they got too much energy being created, and they need places to be able to store it, to put it. So the storage component is a huge, huge piece of the story here. And electric vehicles, like we want to be a part of that revolution. We want to be supporting consumers to get every single dollar they could potentially get from the federal government, from their local, from state, from municipal, from the utility to get them to move toward electric vehicles. We even think that the car manufacturers themselves are going to get into this game as well, trying to stimulate the movement, because it's actually not going to take a whole lot to move the whole market. It's just going to be a few little tweaks, a few little adjustments, and the whole market is going to start saying, oh yeah, this is what we got to do. But the infrastructure is not there yet. We don't all have battery charging capability at our home. We can't just go buy an electric vehicle. We got to invest in a system at our house that we could plug the thing into. And then we start thinking, hey, why don't I put solar on my roof? If I'm going to have this battery system here, why don't I just put solar on my roof? And then
you can put solar on your roof if you want. Yes. I don't know what a roof is.
Roof. That's what I'm at. I hear you.
Greg, bring it back to lighting. Bring it back to lighting, Greggy. Bring it back to lighting, Greggy.
But my
I'm
point,
working at it.
Make your point. Finish
my
your
last,
point.
My last point is just like efficiency matters, because if you're going to make a renewable energy investment, you want to be as efficient as possible, because then you don't need to invest in as much generation. That's kind of my thought. Is I think efficiency still matters, even though we have too much energy. I think it still very much matters. That's all.
Very good. Well, and looking at your website, you have efficiency scores of this individual states or the provinces in Canada. I can find it myself, but why don't you tell us what's the most efficient state and province, and what's the least efficient? Do you know offhand?
Oh, gosh. You know what? That's a tough question, because the state that spends the most, that oftentimes gets the number one score, is Massachusetts.
Okay.
And I'll tell you to go back to the point about Ontario. Massachusetts also spends a lot of cash on their programs. So I'm not saying that's mm-hmm. bad at all. Massachusetts is very evolved in terms of efficiency and starting to really move into renewables. And, you know, as you guys probably have heard, the the cannabis capability in Massachusetts is coming online in a big way. So they're going to have a lot of new people powering up metal halide, powering up HPS to grow products. And we want them to be instead powering up LED. So it's a good thing that they're spending that much money, I say, in general. But, you know, that's not a good indicator. The indicator for us is the efficiency of the spending of the money. Who's spending the money most efficiently in the marketplace? And actually, I would say that there in Minnesota with you, Greg, with Premier, I mean, you guys have a really efficient program with Excel where they have a very strong midstream program. It's probably one of the best in the country. The program is the same practically in Denver. So if you're an Excel person in Minnesota, you go out to Denver, it's almost the same design. It's the same people kind of that are behind it. And they're actually a great example of a scalable type of model. So I really like that program design because it limits the amount of waiting. It limits the amount of paperwork. It puts the decision point really clear for the customer, like go this route or go this route. This route over here has an instant discount of $150. Like, this is easy. This is going to happen today. You are validated. You are capable of getting this today. Why would you go with the other one? You know, go for the more expensive, efficient, controllable route and invest in the future and get some money out of Excel. And, you know, that's an example of a very efficient design. I personally would say is a leading edge type of design.
No, I think there's some good to that. To speak on that is a lot of times when we do lighting projects, we have to do three different rebate estimates. You know, we figure out our custom, we figure out a small to medium sized account, and then you figure out a prescriptive. Mm-hmm. I'm sure other places are like that. But on your website, you have the efficiency score out of 50, and Massachusetts got 44.5, and then in Canada, Ontario got 42. So those are the two high. And how does that scale work, or what is it out of 50? What do you get?
Nice job, Ontario. It's actually based on ACEEE, the Council for Energy Efficient Economy. So ACEEE, they publish a lot of their rich data that they gather from the market. So you know, our system uses some of their data to calculate that. And then what we also do in the background is we look at what the program is offering in the marketplace compared to the rest of the market. And then we assign a score for that too. So really, like, leading edge programs who are offering a really great program opportunity are scored higher. And, you know, it doesn't always equate to the dollars. I guess that's kind of what I'm trying to say with the efficiency of the spend. Because in my opinion, and you guys can tell me if you think I'm crazy about this, but I think we'd be better off if the incentive values were even slightly lower, but the budgets and the way that they went to market was better. Like, the budget didn't end. You know, we've got some programs right now that are about to run out of money, and it's like, maybe we could have tweaked that to make that last. Like, you could have got another 15, 20, you know, 30 projects out of that. I can't change that. And I don't really want to. And I respect the people who benefit from that. So that's just my opinion.
But yeah, nobody's criticizing anybody. I think it's, you know, we've been at this for, gosh, I don't know, 15 years now of rebates, mm-hmm. maybe more. And, you know, there's some time for reflection here of what works best. What are the best practices? What, you know, are we paying too much? You know, is it too high? You know, I mean, how do you track the value, the commodity price of, let's say, an LED 2x2 panel in the market, right? So, and versus the prescriptive rebate for that, right? And when the value is significantly less than the prescriptive rebate, how do you handle that situation? How do you get that information? Like I said, I think they should hire Michael and Greg from the Get a Grip on Lighting podcast, and I'll tell them real quick, son, here's what you do.
There you go. Now, to follow up on that. I'm just the rebate program, the question you had, I agree totally, because we have a couple smaller utilities in our area that have run out of money already for the year. And now you've got all these proposals out there, and you have to go to the customer and say, sorry, I have no clue if you're going to get a rebate in the future. Sorry for showing you that 50% reduction. That's not really there anymore. You know, that's sucks. The kind of thing where, yeah, they should definitely have a higher funding or less rebates just to spread it out more, because I think it would obviously entice more people to do it.
Well, and you know what you do there is you delay decision making. Like, that's what really sucks, because somebody who says, you know what, I'll just wait. I'll wait till January when it reopens.
Now, is that a bigger issue for the industry that we rely too much on the rebate to sell?
Totally, rebate chasers out there listening to this. You rebate chasers, get a grip, son. You got to be able to sell without rebates.
And I think this goes to the point, Michael, that you were making, that you heard from somebody say, I can't wait until it's all gone.
Yeah, it's a movement in Ontario right now. People are like sick of this
shit.
Let's
get rid of it.
Yeah.
And I've heard that so many times, you know, over the past decade, people saying that same exact thing, that, you know, I don't want to deal with it anymore. Just let the market figure itself out. Let the market do what it does. And I think there is kind of a point there to be heard that, like, the way these things are set up, it kind of limits the market from, like, finding its effective balance. You know, in economics, like, the reason that markets work is because you throw everything at it, or you throw everything into this big mix, and the market just figures it out. But when you have this, like, really odd kind of, like, artificial source of information and data and money, effectively, you know, this is money, this is real money, it's kind of artificial because it comes and goes, and it's like, it's not something you can always depend on. It creates like this dynamic in our decision making, like, I'll just wait. Why rush now? Like, I'll just wait until it reopens, or I'll wait until the incentive program is better next year. It's going to be
better.
I'll tell
you this, man.
It's going to be better. You know?
Yeah. I mean, there's going to be areas, like, unless you're actually very, very good, which, you know, I think we are, my company is, unless you're really, really good, you're going to have a situation where there's going to be, if they cancel the rebate program, it's going to have a monster effect on employment in Ontario. Like, there's so many people that work in lighting, and they're going to be, they're just not going to have a job anymore. I mean, there's going to be nothing to do. There's people that, you know, do rebates all day. There's people that, you know, work for the utilities that do this. There's people, all sorts of people have little companies that are out there running around smashing in LED tubes everywhere. So, I mean, it's going to have an effect. The problem is that you created the problem in the first place by, you know, they created the problem with this. What's that economist's name? The guy, he became popular in 2008. I can't remember his dumb name. But anyway.
Friedman?
Not Hayek or Friedman. The other guy, the opposite guy to him. The guy that's like, print money. No. And
Caldwell?
What's that? What's that?
Caldwell?
No, print he's
money. Greenback?
No, he's a British guy. But here, it doesn't matter. His theory was this. Is like, if the government just goes and buries money in the ground and tells everybody, hey, it's somewhere over there, people will go buy shovels and stuff, and they'll start digging up holes everywhere, and then it'll just boom the economy, because it's like everyone's going to start digging for this money in the ground. That's kind of what the rebate program is. It's like, you know, what it's done is it's a distortion of natural capitalism. And America is the land of the free and the home of the rebate now.
You're right. You are spot on. Michael,
and so is Ontario already was that, but now America's gone.
That's the best word. I like that word, distortion. The market is distorted because there's this thing that comes in and out, and everybody's trying to chase it. And I think the intention of it is good. That's my feeling. Like, the real
it's hard to rely on your good,
good
intentions.
Well, that's my worry. That's my worry in business.
Yeah. Well, you know what the thing is too. It's like, you have these, like, oh, yeah, we tried to do good, but we did bad. Well, isn't that what Ronald Reagan talked about? Hi, I'm from the government, and I'm here to help you. Those are the 10 most scary words that ever were uttered, isn't it? I think that was Ronald Reagan who said that. But, you know, but it's like, at the end of the day, okay, so I know how energy works. I know how to price it. 90% of my customers do not care about how much energy they're going to save. They want to know, how much is the rebate? How much is the rebate?
Yeah.
And it's like, do you, like, why are you doing, are you spending $100 so the utility can give you back 50, dumbass? Like, why are you doing this?
Are you spending $100 so your rebate, your utility can, yeah, man, we got a rebate. Yeah. Well, are you saving any energy or not? Is it a good lighting system or not? I mean, this is the, like the rebates distort the, all that, and they blend. That what they do is they eliminate the differences between people who are actually good at lighting and people who aren't. And it equalizes them. It brings up the bottom and pulls down the top.
Yeah.
You know, brother. I'll say I have a couple – that's a very good point. And a couple quick things I want to say on that. I was recently at the DLC conference in Boston. And somebody had kind of said to me something that kind of bothered me. And I've been thinking a lot about it. They were basically saying that, like, when somebody gets that stamp of approval that their product is going to be rebate eligible, that almost oversees or overtakes the actual product itself, the brand of the product, the company.
Oh, yeah, DLC
behind,
is a brand. Behind. DLC is the most powerful brand in the lighting business.
I don't want to get, like, into a deep discussion on DLC. Oh,
we discuss it all the time on this show.
I know you guys do. And I see DLC as a very good partner of ours. We want to be kind, and we really do think what DLC is doing. And I'll say that last meeting that just happened 3 weeks ago was very, very positive, meaning DLC is going through kind of an evolution where they themselves are thinking about, hey, what does it mean to actually provide this service in the future? Like, what do people actually want in this industry for what we're doing? And they've got some very innovative ideas that they're going to be coming out with. But the thing I want to say about that is, I think that person has a point that I'm going to leave it at that. The other point I wanted to make is when you were talking about the personal, why the person thinks the incentive is the factor in their decision. Like, oh, I got the $150 rebate. That's why I did this. You're talking about human buying behavior. Like, that is a core element to the way we make decisions. And it's not as if it's like a ingrained thing. It's just something we've learned over time that incentives or rebates can maybe get me something later or now that maybe I should do now. Yeah, let's do it. Let's do it. Gets people excited. And I don't know what that is. That is a really deep embedded human behavior that we all kind of have to a certain extent. You know, we do it at the grocery store when something is
$1.50. It's a herd
off.
Mentality. So what happens is here, this is very
it's in
simple
the brain,
psychology.
Man.
Yeah. So what happens is like you have a guy who's like, yeah, man, we just did our lighting at our factory, man. I paid $100,000. The rebate gave me $55,000 back, man. Oh, you got a rebate? Yeah, you better get in, son. That program might end. And then there's like this cascade effect of people running towards the rebate. And that becomes the point at which the decision is made. What's the rebate? How much is it? And they've like a lot of these things like DLC, the utility rebate programs, what they've done is muddy the lighting waters. And, you know,
but can you really complain? I mean, you.
No, I'm great. I love it. I've been balling, buddy.
Bankers boxes.
I know.
Bro. I mean, you're walking in with 15 bankers
yeah,
boxes.
Listen,
deals you close.
Right, like, Joe. There's a difference between Michael who walks out of the studio, outside the studio. There's a counter. There's a counter out there. Okay. There's a order desk over here. And people sit there selling light bulbs. As soon as I leave this place, I put back that hat on and I get back to work.
You're like, I love rebates.
Yeah, bro, let's do it. Come on,
rebate,
son.
Rebate.
I love Joe.
DLC, DLC, yes. DLC.
Totally, dude. I'm on it. I'm on it.
You know, we got to be careful what we wish for in this industry. Sure. I think, like, you know, our whole play here, what we're trying to add value in is to make it more efficient, to make the experience more streamlined, and to really kind of connect the two ends, because there's no reason that we can't make that connection between industry and utility. And that's what Rebate Bus is. You can plug into us and kind of see and work with the entire space. We're very much in like the early stages of our development. We're still in like the first inning, but we see a future where we can create some synergies. And we also want to be careful to tell everybody that we're a very neutral third-party entity. We're not aligned with any one manufacturer, any one distributor, anybody. We want to work with the market in a way that helps the market get smarter and helps the market intelligently upgrade the world. I mean, that's what it's about, man. There is so much opportunity out there. We're at like, I mean, what do you guys think we are at? Commercial saturation of LED. What number are we at right now?
I would say Ontario is like 50 to 70%.
All right, Ontario might be a very forward leading, but generally across the North America, you know, what do you
think? I'm in the 30 to 40% range.
Okay.
That's my thought. I don't know if I'm right.
Where are you, Joe?
I actually, DLC and Dan, actually it was Dan Mellinger who did a really nice presentation at DLC, which I might be able to give you guys a link to if I can find it. He did a really good study on this, and he found that it's actually quite lower than we think. And it, in terms of adoption, exterior has been adopted much faster than interior. So, and that actually is what we see when we drive around. You know, when we're driving in our car, you know, oh, LED street light, oh, LED over here, you know, LED on that building, LED over here. You see those things. You can actually see them. You know, you see the wall pack. It's no longer HPS. It's LED. You see the pole light when you park your car and you go into Walmart. Hey, the world is going LED. Look, Walmart's got LEDs. It's great. It's a really good thing. But when we go inside places, you know, not as many of us see it, but there's like, there's an incredible amount of energy.
I think it depends on the jurisdiction. I think it depends on the jurisdiction. But Joe, do me a favor.
Yeah.
Do me a favor. Next time you come on my show, put a tie on.
Tie.
Me?
Put a tie on, man. You need a tie.
T-shirt.
because I need to look more professional?
Yes. I'm joking with you, Joe. Come on, buddy. I'm joking.
I don't get sarcasm. I don't get it. There's something in my brain. It doesn't get it. I do that all when somebody's sarcastic with me. I don't get it.
I know.
This is the rest of my team here. This is
hey guys,
Kylie. That's Aaron, our director of marketing. This is Sam, and there's another guy floating around here. We're in our Madison office this morning.
Yeah, that was fun as heck, man. That was one of my favorite podcasts ever, Joe.
Definitely.
I really had fun. I didn't know what to expect. This has been a blast.
Yeah. Thanks for coming on. Thanks for coming on to Get a Grip on Lighting
Podcast. Let's do it next Friday. Give me a call next Friday.
I don't know about next Friday. Maybe in September.
We'll space it out. But
sounds good. Again.
Yeah.
Thanks, Joe.
All right, Joe. Thanks for coming on, man. Bye for now.
Have a great day. Talk soon.
Kurtzon.com. Specification grade. That's KURTZON.com. Greg, Kurtzon.com.
Yeah, with over 900 DLC listed products, you know, it is something that they have covered, and that is helps you when you need to have a rebate, because a lot of rebates on the subject we talked about today, a lot of rebates are require DLC listing.
Sure. Yeah,
and Kurtzon has that covered. But in addition to that, they have a specification grade product that's not only tailored around what the rebates are. They actually tailor the lighting around the application you need. And that's the most important thing in lighting that I think we're missing a lot of times now, is not putting in the proper fixtures. And Kurtzon has some of the best fixtures out there for specific applications.
Yeah, you know what? The thing about the whole, everyone's got so rebate crazy that they've forgotten that you can actually make fixtures that are specifics for a certain application that work really well and are easy to install and easy to maintain and everything else. And Kurtzon has not forgotten about that. In fact, that's where they've come from over 100 years, baby. Go to KURTZON.com. That's Kurtzon.com for specification grade. And Greg, this show is brought to you by the National Association of Innovative Lighting Distributors. That's NEILD.org. For information on joining the association, going to the conference, taking some educational programs. And Joe Pater, was that fun or what, Greg?
That was riding the rebate bus, literally. We were on a bus ride going all over the place, but had a lot of fun.
Yeah, I think people brought some beer on that bus as well, because it was pretty wild and fun. Joe, hey, man, thanks for coming on the show. It was fun. He wants to do it every Friday. Hey, maybe another Friday in December, Joe.
There you go.
Thanks for coming on the show. Get a Grip on Lighting, episode 42. Bye.
Written on the rectory wall, there's a sign there for all. You are lost, the Lord is there to find you.